I'd ask you to turn, please, to the second book in your Bible, the book of Exodus, and we read in chapter 12. And we read at verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to his house, take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take off the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Look down, please, at verse number 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now that's all we wish to read. You will allow me to notice that before we take a look at this chapter, that the book in our Bible that introduces the dread subject of sin with its tragic consequences, it opens with a man in fellowship with God in a garden. And it closes with a man in a coffin in Egypt. But this book that introduces the grand subject of redemption, it opens with a people in slavery. And it closes with that same people in the sanctuary in the presence of God. You will notice that it was God that made known his plan of redemption. Yes, he's going to liberate a people from the slavery that holds them. He's going to shelter them from the stroke of divine judgment that came upon the land of Egypt. And he's going to take them to himself to enjoy a fitness for the sanctuary in his presence. And it's God that declares the terms of redemption. In fact, when Moses, God's messenger, went into the presence of the king, Moses could say to the king, Thus saith the Lord. We're learning, aren't we, for a shelter from judgment, for a fitness for the divine presence, we need what satisfies the eye of God. When God dealt with Egypt in various plagues, he rained hail upon the land of Egypt that burned up every green thing. But in his miraculous providential way, we read that there was no hail in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel was. Only God could do that. when a darkness settled down upon the land, a darkness that could be felt. The Israelite here light in his dwelling. God manifesting his power in the land of Egypt. But now he's going to teach Israel great truths concerning redemption. And he's going to let Israel know that a national distinction is not sufficient to put them amongst the redeemed. Will you notice, please, that the divine requirement for redemption was found in Elam? Then we will notice that there was something unique about the Lamb. For we read about Elam to satisfy the demands of God. Then we read about the Lamb, and that Lamb must be without a blemish, for it spoke of Christ. Then did you notice the element of human responsibility? Yes, when God brought over 2 million people through a wilderness scene, he manifested his power in giving them manna from heaven, angels' food, morning by morning. A ready-made breakfast awaited the Israelites each morning. Did you notice there was no breakfast in bed? Did you notice there was no forced feeding? Yes, God brought there a supply to meet their need just within their reach. No, he didn't put it on the top of the mountain. Nor did he ask them to climb the steeps to reach what God had provided for them. No, he brought it right within their reach. I know that. On the dew each morning was heaven's supply to meet the need of his people. But he left them responsible to take what God had provided. Oh, they didn't understand its chemistry. They said, what is it? But if their need would be met, God left them responsible to take what God had provided and make it their own. Did you notice that God left the Israelite here responsible to appropriate what had been provided in the blood of the Lamb? Yes, we will notice that the Lamb must be slain. Oh, sinner, praise the gospel. We love it. Never treat the gospel in a casual way. Never treat a gospel meeting in a casual way. Remember, it took Calvary to provide salvation. We sing at times, O blessed Lord, what hast thou done? How vast a ransom paid. God's only well-beloved Son upon the altar laid. To create the worlds he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. To save a sinner he gave his Son to the death of the cross. Never treat the salvation of God lightly. Your Bible calls it great salvation. Yes, the blood must be shed. But God left the Israelite responsible to take what had been provided in the slain lamb and to make it his own and to apply it on the side posts and the upper door posts. Wouldn't it have been a tragedy for any in the land that night to perish in the very blood at the doorstep? I may have told you, I buried a lady one day, and I asked her son, could you tell me something about your mother's conversion? Oh, he said, that I could. She often talked about it. You know, the Christians talk about their conversion. It's the greatest daily life's experience. And said he, she told us about being in a meeting one night and just longing to know how she could make salvation hers. Oh, humiliating to the speaker to remember that it was through the verse of a hymn. The song at the close of the meeting, precious, precious blood of Jesus. Shed on Calvary. Shed for rebels. Shed for sinners. Shed for me. For me, she said. What more do I need than the blood of Christ shed for me? And she made it her own, and she applied it, and she was sheltered, and she was saved. Oh, it would be a great meeting tonight. No reason why you should go home tonight with your burden of sin and on a road that's leading to destruction. Oh, sinner, there's sufficient in the blood of Christ, we will notice, to satisfy the eye of God and to meet the sinner's need. For my God, that never broke a promise, declared when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And they were as safe as God could make them. Elam, God's claims must be met. For redemption, God made known his demand, and it can alone be met in a lamb that satisfies the eye of God. No angel could our place have taken. Highest of the high though he, spurned by man, by God forsaken, one of the Godhead he. Did we quote last night that princely preacher John the Baptist? Oh, we must have found delight in it. The question of the ages was answered. Viewing the person of Christ, and he's bound for the cross. Oh, said John, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Yes, said my God, your lamb must be without a blemish. For this lamb spoke to the heart of God concerning the Lamb of God, his own son. The Lamb of God to slaughter led. The King of glory see. The crown of thorns upon his head, the nail him to the tree. And as God looked down upon that scene, and he's teaching his people the great truth of redemption, that Lamb spoke to the heart of God concerning his own son. And it must be without a for it typifies the person of Christ. Oh, it gives me great joy in my heart, friend, to tell you that we preach a Savior without a spot. We preach a Savior without a blemish. We preach one that delighted and satisfied the heart of God in his person. At the beginning of his ministry, I read that God rent the heavens. And with delight and dignity, God declared, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Heaven's testimony as to the spotlessness of the person of Christ. Yes. And when the work was completed on the cross, God rent the veil in the temple. And that cry that rose to the throne of heaven when he died for our sins, the divine hand rent the veil in the temple, declaring God's satisfaction with the work of his son. Did you notice the testimony of man concerning the person of Christ as to his spotless purity? Oh, said Pilate, I find no fault in this man. Oh, sinner, there was one that went to the cross and died for our sins. And he was sinless, pure, and holy in himself. Yet he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. No sin in him. My sins were upon him. All my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, I am free. Yes, and said those demons, thou holy one of God, one without a blemish, one without a stain, one without a spot, a lamb that satisfied the divine claims, must be slain. We delight to preach the perfections of the person of Christ. We delight to trace that path on earth that ever brought delight to the heart of God. We sing at times thoughts of a sojourn in this vale of tears. That tale of love unfolded in those years of sinless suffering and patient grace. We love again and yet again to trace. No, no. The claims of divine justice are not yet met. The sinner's need is not yet met, despite a life that delighted the heart of God. No, the divine demand claim, ye shall slay it. The lamb must be slain. Will you think of Gethsemane scene? Oh, that one when above seraphim veiled their face in his presence, and cried, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The one that delighted the heart of God in a glory that he shared as God's equal on high. I view him prostrate upon the ground. Strong crying and tears, he's anticipating the cross. And a cry rose, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You tell me there's another way to heaven. You tell me you're doing your best. You tell me you are baptized, if it be possible. Oh, said Christ, the Son of Man must suffer. The necessity of the cross to meet the sinner's need. And the one that created the worlds and upholds them with his power, led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Yes, said Peter, it was on the cross he bore our sins, and there he was wounded for our transgressions. There he was bruised for our iniquities. There the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Did you, I believe that. Could you believe this? With his stripes, we are healed. You know, at conversion, there's two interested parties. And they're occupied with Christ and his work on the cross. The God that I had sinned against has declared his satisfaction with that one offering for sin. The night that I was saved, in effect I said, I'm satisfied. I seek no other argument. I want no other plea. It is enough. Is it, sinner? It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. The lamb slain. God's claims are met. Yes, but the Israelite had a responsibility. Do you know the weightiest remorse that the lost will bear forever? Oh, to be in hell and to remember there was enough in Christ to meet my need will bear the loss down forever. Yes, they were to take it. They were to make it their own. And the promise was, and it's a divine promise, why, if you take it to yourself tonight, you can rest on the promise of God, and He never broke a promise. When I see the nationality, not a word of it. When I see the baptismal lines, not a word of it. God says, when I see the blood, sinner, the blood of Christ satisfies God for redemption. And immediately it satisfies you. When you can say, well, I can trust Him, for He did a work upon the cross, and it was for our sins, and it has satisfied God, that saving faith, we say, take salvation. Take salvation, take it now, and we say, happy.